say about, and definitely you want to take some notes. It's at least a two-part series, at least. So we're going to chop it down a little shorter so you guys have time to like think, and we're probably going to pray about it at the end. But it will be available online. So our topic today is authority in action. And for all you church folk, we know it's the authority of the believer, right? But there's a lot to that, because sometimes we believe without taking action. So this is part one. I'm going to give you some basic scriptures you can write down and go study it out where our series is going this week, next week, and maybe three, depending on how we go. That's Ephesians chapter 6. And you could probably read the whole book of Ephesians. Like, it'll really just stir in your heart. But Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 14. And Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. And like I said, you can just scribble these things down. And also Matthew 16, 18 through 20. And Daniel 10, 12 through 14. And all this will be online, and we have a great team in the back. Chad and Lane have, like, by the way, they've put a new program together with a new computer to get our slides together, and we are so grateful for what they've done. So you'll see some scriptures up there as well. All right. Well, Father God, in Jesus' name, we've already given you this service. So, Lord, I thank you. Just take it in the direction it needs to go. And, Lord, that my words would be just seasoned with salt and just convey your heart with truth, love, and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, have you ever been just driving along, minding your own business? It's a beautiful sunny day. How many coffee drinkers? How many are, like, drinking, drive your coffee, you know, at the same time? You know, I'm a better driver with a cup of coffee. And, you know, and you're listening to your favorite playlist, you know? So, I don't know if it's, like, you know, some Bethel worship, a little Hillsong, a little CCR, a little Motown. I like all of those on my playlist. So you're listening to your music, you're enjoying the sunshine, you're feeling so good. I mean, things are going well in life. You're in good health, your family's hanging out, you know, everyone's doing well, the job's going well, the economy's booming. And, you know, you're feeling like so generous, like you let two cars merge in front of you. That's when you know you're doing good, right? You know, you got to let one car merge. You're like, you wave. Like, Jeep people have that wave. Yeah, sure, two people can go in front of me. You're doing great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, sideswipe. There's something about when you don't see a hit coming, you can't prepare for. And that whiplash, the pain just shoots through your body in waves. And no matter how hard you try to correct that when you're steering, it just seems to fly out of control. And it's a mess. And you look around going, how are we going to get out of this mess? And it hurts so bad. How long is it going to take for me to heal from this attack? You know, it could be an emotional attack. It could be a financial attack against your business. It could be a relationship. It could be a recurrence of depression or anxiety. But how many of us, we understand this really, really well, because it's been 5 months now, like a smack in the face. You know, something about getting sucker punched by an invisible pulley. You know, anybody have one of those where, like, you know, the kid on the playground just comes around when you're not looking for it and just sucker punches you right in the gut, knocks the air out of you because you don't see it coming. So we are, in Jesus' name, coming out of, because I'm in faith for this, a pandemic, COVID-19, an economy crash, riots, a heartbreaking racial divide, anger, blame, rage, hate, and social media is not your friend right now. There is a lot of divisive political mudslinging going on, nastiness. And it's not only dividing a nation, it's dividing churches. We are the church. We meet in different buildings. This is no joke. And how many people know who's really behind it? Satan. And you know, there's nothing new with Satan's tactics. There is literally nothing new under the sun. That's what Solomon says. So, you know, we found out real quick, if Satan can't get to you, he gets to the people around you. He might even get to systems around you. He likes to deceive. He likes to twist facts because he wants to divide to conquer. He's a master deceiver, and he's a smoke and mirrors guy because he will twist things around to make him seem bigger and more powerful than he really is. He is the author of all confusion. There's a lot of confusion going on right now. And he came to steal, kill, and destroy anything he can get his claws in. Today, we're going to talk about how to shut the door of access to your life, no matter what's going on in the world around you, so he doesn't steal, kill, and destroy. You know, there really is nothing new under the sun, because when you study history, it's funny how history repeats itself if you don't educate yourself and take action. So 100 years ago, we had this thing called the Spanish flu pandemic. Anybody actually study it? We don't have time, but might be interesting to go back and study. Because we have a younger generation right now that has not probably gone through something as scary and traumatic as certain world wars. This is a really horrific time for them. They've never seen, heard, dealt with anything like this. And 100 years ago, we kind of watched a pandemic fly through the world. We had a Great Depression. And there was an incredible mounting racial divide that was hitting. It was tearing a nation apart. It was dividing our nation, and it was dividing and even segregating churches, which is like horrifying to think because we are all his sons and daughters. It was scary. It was an angry mess. But the church was praying, and there was action that had to be taken, not only in the spirit, but in our natural world and what was going on in our government and in society, in neighborhoods, in schools. And what was really cool when you read your history, I want you to take courage because something swept through our nation. It was called the Fourth Great Awakening. It was the greatest revival we had seen in 100 years. And we are due. So my friend Brian always says this. He says, take courage. I love how he says that with encouragement. But take courage, because God answered prayers and revival hit. And something called the Jesus People Movement. How many people, my family was saved out of the Jesus People Movement. Anybody know what that was? It was wild. It like burst outside the walls of churches. Churches couldn't contain what God was doing in our streets and in our society, because the harvest was so plentiful. We had what we call the barefooted hippies were like piling through the doors. The church folks were like, number one, it smells in here and you need a haircut and we will just figure this out as it goes because revival's messy. An incredible, like how many people, raise your hand. My parents, born again out of that. Yes, my Uncle Jim, grandma was a part of that. Wild signs, wonders, miracles, and healings were happening. So it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. But God showed up because his people prayed, and his people showed up too. Amen? Isaiah 59 verse 19 is really encouraging, and it says, so as a result of the Messiah's intervention, the Messiah is Jesus Christ our Savior, they shall reverently fear, or means honor, the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising sun, when the enemy shall come in like a violent flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives, overwhelming the enemy. The Spirit of the Lord comes in and he raises a standard and overwhelms the enemy. So this is reminding us there is hope. And there is victory in Christ Jesus. Because I want you to remember this as we're in the thick of it right now. We feel like we're in the trenches. And now again, we are fighting an invisible enemy. We are fighting disease. We're fighting a plague. We're fighting panic. We're fighting fear. We're fighting depression, not only emotionally, but economically. We are fighting to hold on to our jobs, the education of our children. How many parents right now, it has been the greatest faith battle to hold on to the education of your children right now. It's not something to joke about. It's really intense. We're fighting a cultural disease of racism that's plagued for generations. We're fighting to unify the church. We're fighting to unite our nation, one nation under God. We're fighting the effects of isolation, depression, anxiety, and suicide. How many people are tired of this? Exhausted of this? Then it's time to act. Both in natural action and in spirit. And you have to do both, because it won't work unless you do both. I'm tired of the snot getting kicked out of us. My family, my friends, society, the students that I work with. I'm sick of it. And it's time to take a stand. Because God has raised up a standard, right? But we have to pray. And we have to take action. We have to learn how to, number one, walk by the Spirit of God. Totally saturated in His Word. Totally saturated in His presence. In His love. In His peace. Joy despite horrific circumstances. Paul wrote Philippians. Check the context. It's the most joyful book in the Bible. He was waist deep in human feces in the bottom of a dungeon. And he still had joy. How much more are we commanded to have joy? Not happy about what's going on, but the joy of the Lord, of His goodness that we sang about, His unending greatness, His unending mercy and love and healing power. That's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. We have to walk by the Spirit and not by our emotions. You better walk by the Spirit and not by what's going on in the media. Got to think about that. You got to spend more time in the Word than Googling your favorite Christian conspiracy theory. Please stop sending them to me. Love you guys. Can't keep up on it. I really try to like read everything you guys send me, but it's like too much and it's embarrassing sometimes. I was like, whoa. Okay. Send me scriptures, word of encouragement. I get it. Educate me. I like to be educated. But if you're spending more time going down rabbit holes of this world's system and not in God's Word, you will not have any power, you'll not have any authority, and you're going to be totally ruled by your emotions and circumstances and the manipulations of the enemy, because he really likes to manipulate circumstances and people around you. You got to walk by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and you better be in the Word, and I'm going to say this really clear, and you better vote. Because you're going to need to take action in the Spirit through prayer. Educate yourself in the Word of God. Educate yourself in society. This is ignorant. You better know what your party platform stands for. So I tell this, I'm not getting all out here. I'm going to touch on this because I'm going to hit on prayer. But you need to educate yourself because people want to educate you. Okay? So step back, educate yourself. Okay? Print out the party platforms. I tell all my young adults, you print off the party platforms, educate yourself what they stand for, get full of God's Word, get full of the Spirit, get in a place of forgiveness and love and faith for our society and our nation, and you go highlight what lines up with what the Holy Spirit's telling you and what the Word of God says, and then you go look at your platforms, and none of them are going to be like 100% it. And then you vote with the one that has the most highlights on it. Okay? I don't tell my students how to vote. I educate them on how to educate themselves. I teach them what the Word of God says. And that's how society changes. I'm going to say it one time. You got me on that one? We're real clear on that, right? Okay. So, we must pray. We must be full of the Word. And we must act. And that might mean, action means sometimes you better run for local office. You better run for local leadership. You better be involved in the PTA. You better be involved in your community outreaches. The church has fallen asleep at the wheel. And sometimes we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. So yeah, we better have our prayer meetings. Get a neighborhood prayer group together. My mom had this thing called Moms in Touch because it was a little nuts in her teenage years in our family. And she gathered with people from different churches, completely different perspectives on life. They probably wouldn't even be able to share pulpits, if you know what I mean. And they prayed, and God did miraculous things in their kids. So there is prayer and there is action. But this is not a time to be asleep in apathy. But you better do both. And I'm tired of a bunch of flesh-ruled, emotional, ranting Christians. They're not full of the word, and they're not full of prayer, and they're angry and raging and blaming, and they're doing more damage for the kingdom of God. And in their deception, they're just mad because they think something's wrong with all the other Christians. And I'm going, you're embodying everything that we don't want to be a part of. You follow me? So we got to be full of both. And your social media better be full of God's word. Because if you're blowing up your social media and representing all kinds of anger, rage, blame, contentions, mudslinging. You know what mudslinging is? Slander. Tearing people apart. Be full of the Spirit. Be full of His Word. I was really praying to be really careful how I say things. Because even myself, I could get in the flesh too. Because I've been doing nonstop counseling for 5 months. And young adults that are so confused the way the church is acting right now. And they don't want to be a part of it. So when you take action, make sure it's by prayer, make sure it's by full of the word, and make sure it's covered in the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. It's not what you say, it's how we say it. The truth is to be spoken in love. It is God's kindness that brings us to repentance. It is not our self-righteousness beaten down on a generation telling them they got it all wrong that causes change. I have to preface this because if all I do is preach on prayer and the authority of the believer, we ignore the elephant in the room. I'm ready to move forward, are you? So it's time to turn off the twisted social media if you can't handle it properly. You know, I was raised with guns. We were taught how to handle them properly. We were taught how to shoot them properly. Otherwise, you can hurt yourself and hurt other people around you. Social media can be used for God's glory, but if you're not using it for God's glory, you might need to take a step back because you might be doing more damage than good. Because media likes to twist and spin facts to rile emotions. Because if it can whip people into hysteria and fear and anger and rage and blame, we have just played into the hand of the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, destroy, gossip, slander, divide. It's time for us to stop reacting in our flesh when people say hurtful things to us. Remember what Jesus did when they whipped him and beat him and insulted him as he was bleeding out for the world. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It's called ignorance, a lack of education, a lack of life experience. Father, forgive them. I feel like everyone just close your eyes right now. And just, if it's in your heart to say this, but I challenge you right now for the things that have been enraging you. The Bible says, be angry and sin not, but gotten you into sin. Just whisper unto the Lord, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgive me for lashing out. Forgive me for the blame. Help me to be you, Jesus. Fill me with your truth and give me the words to speak in due season. Season my words with salt. That the world around me would change. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time to turn off the drama, guys. It's time to open up the Bible and the Word of God. It's time to tap in and turn on the faith. Faith rises up. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if all we're hearing and hearing and hearing is doubt and fear and blame and rage and anger and idiocracy and pointing the finger, what are we going to be full of? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And when faith starts to rise up and we start looking, because faith without works is dead, and then you start looking, Lord, how do I act? Number one, how do I pray? How do I pray the answer? And number two, how do I be the answer? The embodiment of Jesus Christ on the earth. It's time to turn up the worship music. It's time to sing louder. Sometimes we got to sing louder than our thoughts. The Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. He didn't say it was based on your personality type. Because, you know, a lot of people, oh, I'm just not that kind of person. Does he have like little, like, what do they call it? Disclaimer lines in the Word of God? Hey, make a joyful noise and shout and raise your hands unto the Lord. If you're like one of those people like Pastor Sherry, big personality. So I'm the loudest one in my family. I'm embarrassing to everyone. My sisters are always like, we can't take you anywhere. You're so loud. And can you take off one more of those colors? Because it's like rainbow bright up in here. I am who I am. And I'm a little ridiculous in worship. I am not asking you to be me. But I say be louder than the voice in your head, the negativity and the nastiness. We yell at people on the drive to church because, like, my parents would always fight on the way to church. It's just how it works. Something stupid happens. The kid vomits everywhere. You know, we forgot to shut the garage. And, you know, we have no problem raising our voices when we're passionate about negative things. But why are we not raising our voices choosing joy? And don't say, oh, it's just not my personality type. There is no disclaimer for you in the Word of God. So when we give an opportunity to worship, let's worship with everything in us, because right now at the time in our society, we shouldn't take it for granted. It's time to flip the switch on what's going on in the world, and it starts here in our spirit. And remember who we really are, remember who Jesus is, and remember the authority and power he's given us to be him on this earth. It is time to take a stand in our spiritual authority in Christ Jesus, because we are at war, whether we like to admit it or not. Truth. So we are human beings, natural flesh. You know, if you pinch it, it hurts, right? Okay. But we have a spirit inside of us. And one day we're going to die a ripe old age in Jesus' name, not of sickness and disease, but we are just going to open the door and step into the other side with Jesus. And that's the spirit being. That's the real us. We as humans are tied to two dimensions, two realms. For all of our sci-fi people out there, this is not hard to understand. I do love it. But the rest of you guys, just read the Bible. It explains it very clearly, okay? So there are two realms out there. Thank you. Yes, all the Trekkies. Who else was raised on Star Trek beside me? Yes, live long and prosper. It's good stuff. All right, so there's two different playing fields going on, two different realms, two different dimensions. And what happens in one affects the other. And if we keep our blinders on and only fight a battle from the natural side, only fight in politics, only fight in business, only fight in the economy, only fight other people. Number one, it's going to take a lot longer to get there. And number two, it's going to cause a lot more damage than you even know in your life and the relationships around you. So you got to learn to fight from both sides. If you don't take action in prayer, prayer paves a way for the Lord to go. Praying in the Spirit lays railroad tracks for the train of your destiny to fly past on. If you're not praying, you're going to be hitting a brick wall over and over and over. And you have a relationships in your life where it's like, no matter how hard I try to do the right thing, it's like, no matter what I say, it's a, we have to pray. You might have to pray into it for years. Are you committed? Change takes time. If you don't put your prayer time in, you play easily into the enemy's hands. It all starts first in the spirit realm. So that's where we have to learn how to strike back, right? And it's not strike back at the person that came against you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. The Bible says to love your enemies, bless those that persecute you. We have to learn how to play a hard offense. Offense, not be offended. But how many people, football people? Yo, it's football season coming up, okay? you just play defense the whole time. You're never going to score. You're never going to win. But eventually, hang with me for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and we're going to get into some really powerful prayer strategies to know how to pray. Because Ephesians, finally, we're getting to it. This is definitely going to be a three-week series. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 14 in the Amplified Bible. And by the way, when I study, I read several different translations. Because some things are lost in translation. How many people know another language? We have some families that are bilingual. So if you look in several different translations, the power of the Word of God, the multi-dimensions of it really open up. So I like this in the Amplified. So it blends several different translations together. It says, for our struggle is not, everybody say not, against people. It says it's not against flesh and blood. It says we're contending only with physical opponents. It's not just about political systems and people and leadership and your idiot boss who's running the company into the ground. It is not about what you see, feel, and touch. It says here, but against the rulers, authorities of the unseen world, a spirit realm, against the powers and against the world forces of this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. We are not fighting people. And if your strategy in life is fighting people, let me tell you, you're going to be smacking against a brick wall for a really long time. For our wise generation, an older generation, you've been here a long time. Change takes time, doesn't it? So you better make sure you're not fighting the wrong enemy. Got it? There is the spirit that is behind people pulling strings, hitting emotional buttons, hitting insecurities, hitting rage, hitting past abuses. We always pay for the sins that have gone before us. You know, it's funny, if you want to take a step back, I'm Irish, German, some sort of European mutt ethnically going on, but I got a large chunk of Irish in me. But if you study the history of Ireland, it is upon layer upon layer upon layer of anger, rage, murder, abuses that imploded a nation. Time takes change. And when you hit a spiritual, how do I say this? Satan is going to hit an emotional button by one thing you say. And they're going to trigger back to the person that hurt them. It wasn't so much you. It was the people that have gone before you. And they're not going to hear anything you have to say. And they're angry at you and they might attack you. Don't take it personal. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. It's the hurts. It's the hurts. There's a lot of hurt right now going on. When you forget who you really are, we lose our authority in Jesus. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, right? Amen. We are kids of the King. But right now, I've dealt 5 mind-blowing months of exhausting counseling with people that have completely forgotten who Jesus is inside of them and the authority and power he's given them, the answer inside of them, the mind-blowing, endless supply of grace, God's divine empowerment to live a life free from sin. His endless mercy, his endless love and joy and peace, despite depression, despite anxiety, he's still bigger. The battle was already won at the cross, and we are joint seated with him in heavenly places, which I might get to preach today or next Sunday. But if you're not saturating yourself in the word and you're not praying things out so truth can come in, you will forget who you really are, and you might start fighting for the wrong team. Because that means you're an easy target to manipulate. Because that means you're ruled by your emotions. You're ruled by the facts in the media. I don't like manipulation. How many people have ever been manipulated in your life? I mean, that makes me angry. And I have to really work in forgiveness. But you know, you can manipulate anybody by facts that you put in front of them. So you better be really tuned in with the Holy Spirit so you can differentiate what's taken out of context. So your emotions don't get really riled up in anger and rage and blame, and you start fighting people and not who's pulling the strings behind people. Verse 13, this is Ephesians 6, 12 through 14. It says, therefore, put on the complete armor of God. Does it say one piece of it? The complete armor of God. So that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground. Does it say just put on your armor on Sunday? Does it say put on your armor, you know, with your church folk friends, act all spiritual, and then when you get with your other friends, act a fool and get pulled into the mud and the mudslinging because it's really popular to hate on other people right now? It says put on the complete armor of God every day, okay? So that you will be able to successfully resist. Because it's tempting to get pulled into the nasty right now. And stand your ground, knowing the truth of who God is, the truth of his word. what's really going on. And it really, you got to know by the Spirit of God. But educate yourself. Stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands. How many people feel after 5 months, I have done all that I know to do? And please don't say I've stockpiled 500 rolls of toilet paper and all the hand sanitizer in York County. We know who you are. We are praying for you in forgiveness. We had, like, seriously sweet people that have come to the church going, my wife is going to kill me. They told me to pick up toilet paper. I forgot about it 2 days ago. There's no toilet paper in York County. And we're like, God bless you. You know what? Sometimes your tithes and offerings go into giving people toilet paper. That is okay. How many people are okay with that? Because it saved them a huge fight with their spouse. Literally, this happened a couple times over the last month or five months. Okay. So, sorry. Jokes, because it helps. It keeps it a little lighter in here. All right. Stand your ground in the evil day. And when you have done everything that the crisis demands, you've used all the wisdom you know to do. Stand firm in your place. Where is our place? We are joint seated with him. Where? This is a tribute to my dad. He would jump up, right? We're seated with him in heavenly places, far above the mud and the muck and the drama and the lies and the twists and the attacks and the unforgiveness. And if you get pulled into the mud, you better get in the word and remind yourself, no, the Lord says, I am seated with him in heavenly places. And he freed me from all the hurts and all the attacks and all the pain and the drama and the insecurity and the depression and the anxiety and panic attacks. I'm trying to catch my breath right now because my brain is whirling. I am seated with him in heavenly places. High above all these things, the God's eye view. Lord God, teach me to pray. Show me how to pray. Show me who I am in you. You got to stop. You got to stop. Okay? I'll sing that one later. You're going to have to take a breath. Don't get pulled in the mud. Because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. You'll know how to respond and not react. Don't be an easy target. Stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So stand firm and hold your ground. This war isn't something we can opt out of. There are no conscientious objectors allowed in God's army. Sorry, you got to pick a side. It's Team Jesus. I'm not talking politics right now. You better know who he is and know what he says in his word. And once I said, vote accordingly, educate yourself. But you can't afford to go to sleep in apathy on this one. You know, how many people love history? I love, like, I'm super nerdy. Like, Brad and I will, like, watch documentaries sometime. Like, I'm like, yes, I love documentaries. I'm so nerdy. He's very patient with me, okay? but if you read your documentaries on what was happening between World War I and World War II, there was an enemy underlying in society in Germany, and the Nazi regime was rising up, and there was a lot of twists and mudslinging and changing facts and blame and anger for what was going on in society, and they wanted people to blame. And what they did is the Nazis rose to power off people's anger and fear to blame. And they did horrific atrocities, murder and torture beyond like things we can even like honestly comprehend sometimes. And please educate yourself. Please. So history doesn't repeat itself. But there were a lot of people that just wanted to take a step back. It's not my thing. You know, I'm just like not into that kind of stuff. And they watched as people group after people group were blamed, oppressed, taken, slaughtered, imprisoned. Until it was too late. And there's a famous literary work that says they watched as one people group after another people group after another people group were taken by the Nazis, and they said nothing until they came for them. You got to learn from history, and you can't afford to turn a blind eye to a spiritual battle or to what's going on in the natural. You know, I can preach the gospel without going into politics, right? We can't afford apathy, inaction, or indifference. And a lot of people are so grossed out by all the different sides and the blame and the nasty. They want nothing to do with it. And they're going to sit down, curl up, turn on their Netflix, as another opportunity to change the world passes us by. And then they're going to rant and rave and complain about it for the next 4 years. Let's not let that happen. Because there's too much at stake in our family and our nation and our very life. And we have to take a stand in our believers, the authority of the believer, the authority we've given in Christ, been given in Christ Jesus through action, through prayer, and through his word. And then you ask him, Lord, what would you have me to do? And right now our school system needs incredible parents and strong Christians. If you take all the light out of the dark places, it only gets darker. And our children are our future. And I'm going to say this very carefully. Please make a very prayerful decision before you take all the Christian kids out of the school. Because a lot of parents can't afford to take their kids out of school right now. And if all the strong Christians and the loving homes and safe places remove themselves, the darkness will spread. Please pray about foster care. I wish I had more time to pray about that or talk about that with you. We are the light of the world, but you're going to have to go into dark places for the world to change around you. Prayer and action. A little God assures us victory. Life is not a cakewalk. I'm not going to preach a candy-coated gospel. I'm not. I have lost dear loved ones. I have gone through some hellish things and back, but I'm still standing because I'm standing with him and you stood with me. We're not quitting. We're not. Satan, you want to hit me with lemons and mud and slinging and slander and smear my name all over Kingdom Come? Guess what? I'm still standing. I'm standing on his word, and I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and I stand with my church family, and we're going to get through this together because the Lord promises victory. You know, Isaiah 43 says you will go through fire. You're going to go through hard times. But the Bible says when you stick with him under God's protective umbrella, sticking in close fellowship with him, says you'll go through fire, but you won't get burnt. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, read that story. They didn't even smell like smoke. So don't get pulled to the nasty. I'm tired of Christians cursing all over their Facebook. You put your scripture up, and then you're reposting people that are cursing. Excuse me for the hypocrisy, but they're not going to take you seriously. And I love you, but come on, guys. Well, they already said it. I just reposted it. Well, then you better pray and educate yourself how to say it better. Come on, guys. I know I'm going there, but it's time. We need to be the light, and we need to be different from the world. And I hate to say it, all the Christians, they give other Christians a bad name because they are not walking in the fruits of the Spirit. And they're just yelling and griping and pointing at each other. It's time. Isaiah 43, I will go through fire, but I'm not going to get burnt. The Lord will protect me because I'm sticking with him. Close fellowship, in word, in prayer, talking to him. We mess up all the time. Raise your hand if you messed up this week and even last night. Okay. Thank God for his grace and mercy. Right? God, I need your grace. I messed up. But doing something stupid, okay. How do I say this? God's divine empowerment to break free from sin, right? Stay in close fellowship. You don't have to be perfect to stay under his protection. But when you do something stupid, just be like, God, I was an idiot. Thank you for forgiving me. And let's keep moving forward. Doesn't make you a bad person if you do something bad, right? So keep moving forward. It says, you'll go through water, but you won't drown. But this will require bold faith. Bold faith. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You will need to take risks. You will need to talk to people. And if your action is just social media, I'm sorry, it's not working. I'm sorry. Can I say it? I was not planning on going here, but I am. I'm taking a stand. My social media stand. Everybody's turning you off, and the only people that are following you are the people that agree with you. You're really not making a difference. Do you know what will make a difference? Doing life with people different than you. You know, you want to watch society change? Change your friend group a little bit. Invite extra people to Thanksgiving. Once again, join the PTA. You got to be in the world to change the world. But if all you do is hang out with people that look, talk, and believe just like you do, is anything ever going to change? Double check your platform. I'm for real. Do life with different people. Do life differently. People will change because they see Jesus inside you. And their stance on certain things will start to change because they see Jesus inside you. God assures us the victory. It will require bold faith. Faith is risk. It will require you to stay saturated in the Word of God. It will require you to be quick to forgive. It is hard. How many people have been really, really hurt in the last 5 months? Even by social media posts. Like I'm telling you, people that it's like, wow, I need to, people actually have been unfriending people because what they're posting has hurt their hearts so bad. Be quick to forgive. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It will require obedience to the Word in action. So in this series, I just did my intro. So obviously this is definitely a 3-week series. Where does we know? So in our series, we are going to learn how to, because you got to, I'll be real, you got to cover this up, because I'm tired of people coming up to me afterwards. You got to say this, Pastor Sharon, you need to say this, and you should say this, and you need to say this. So I said it. We good? We good? All right. Don't send me your conspiracy theory videos, okay? Send me the Word of God. Educate me. We said it. And now we're going to move forward. We're going to take ground. So in our series, we're going to talk about, number one, how to shut the door to the enemy's attack. Number two, how to step up into our authority in Jesus in action. And number three, you're going to learn some very powerful prayer strategies. Because a lot of people are praying from position in the mud. Oh, God. Oh, Satan's just attacking me. The world's falling apart. I got enough toilet paper for the next 4 months, but after that, I don't know. Lord, come quickly. I'm going to Google everything on the book of Revelations just to know. Am I pre-trib or post-trib? Oh, God. Please stop. You going to pray from the mud? I'm going to pray and just beg God. Oh, God, help. Spare me. If it be thy will, heal me. Yes, it's his will. His will is his word. God's will for you, read it. It's to heal you, bless you, prosper you, free you. He frees me from depression, anxiety, insomnia, addiction. That's his will. I don't have to beg him for anything. He didn't already win at the cross. But I better pray from the right position. I am with him in heavenly places. You want to learn how to pray powerful prayers? Remember who you are. I'm going to have to do this next week. I did 3 pages of notes. I have 15 pages of notes. So this is going to be fun. I honestly didn't want to go into all this. I had some people pray for me because I felt like we had to cover this. Otherwise, we were going to hit a lot of self-deception and hyper-spiritualize a lot of things without some practical applications. And please, I challenge you to pray and go clean up your social media. I'm not telling you to do it. I challenge you to do it. Find out who you're representing. Are you representing Jesus Christ and his truth and the answer? Or rage, anger, blame, mudslinging, slander? Something to think about. I don't know how to land the plane, so let's just stand up and we're going to pray. If someone from the worship team, I'm just going to kind of pray, and they're just going to be led just to sing a song. But I always believe in a point of action. Otherwise, I just gave a really good message, and you're going to forget about it in about 3 minutes because I am craving barbecue. So, you know, so let's get to a point of action. And I feel like, let's get quiet. Thank you, Jesus. And worship team, you take your time. You're in no rush. I just got to hear where we're going to pray. So I'm just going to start praying. I challenge you right now. Like I said, I don't believe in telling people what to do. I just present a challenge. I present an opportunity to do something that's just going to like humble our hearts to a point of surrender. And I believe there's God's kindness and His goodness brings us into repentance. And I actually believe some of us just need to ask God to forgive us for falling and playing into the enemy's hands. I got really distracted cleaning up all kinds of drama and just trying to detox from all the negativity in the last 5 months. How about you? So, Lord God, I just right now, as I say things that strike a chord in your heart, that hits something that you know the Lord's working on, just say your own prayer to Him. But I'm just going to pray out. But I don't want to just pray over you. I want you to pray with me. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, number one, Jesus, like you told me, we remember you right now. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for forgiving us. I feel like it's just a church-wide repentance, and maybe you even repent on behalf of the church at large. But Father, forgive us. Forgive us for just getting out of fellowship with you and spending more time in sources that are not you as our source. God, I just thank you. You've just forgiven us for just not being in the Word and not praying and blessing those that have hurt us. And right now, I think we're just going to, I want us to just bless people that have hurt us. Even people groups, even political groups, even political leaders, even economic leaders. Maybe financially, you're in a really big hole right now because of some situations that were outside of your control. And you went on some ranters. And you were cursing the enemy instead of breaking off lies and deception and exposing truth in their life. So right now, we're going to pray right now. Father God, I just thank you. You just forgive us for aught and resentment towards political leaders, our people groups, those that have disappointed us, those that have hurt us, those that have caused economic problems, and economic problems cause relationship problems, even fights in your own marriage. Lord God, we cancel the debt right now in Jesus' name. We cancel the scorecard that we've been holding against those people. And we forgive them. Just say right now, Father, I forgive them. Father, I forgive them. They don't know what they did. Lord, we just break off lies from the enemy, off of key leaders in our society, in our community, even in our school system. And we just release the truth of the Holy Spirit over them. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're working on their hearts. You're giving them dreams. You're giving them vision. You're changing the counselors around them, that they're getting godly wisdom and revelation to know what to do. And I thank you that you give those leaders the courage and the strength to not be manipulated and submit to the peer pressure, the fear pressure, political party pressure, and to rise up and stand and do what they're called to do from you, Lord God. Because you are so good at turning hearts. You're so good at turning hearts of leaders, turning hearts of people. We just release your truth. Lord God, we just ask you right now to show us how to adjust our life and change our lives, to put you first again. To put you first, you're going to be the first thing and the first person we think of, Lord, when we wake up, and the last person we think of when we go to sleep. From this point on, we're going to play worship music and sing loud and demonstrate surrender. We'll lift our voices and lift our hands and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because that's where your strength comes from. And we will take every opportunity to put on the full armor of God, to pick up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and your word, to wage war in the Spirit through the power of prayer, and then say, Lord God, what would you have me to do? Who would you have me to talk to? What would you have me to say? In Jesus' name. And Nevin and the team, you just sing whatever you hear. Thank you. We will not be shaken by the reports of this world. We will not be shaken by the manipulation tactics of Satan. We will not be shaken by the emotions that are wreaking havoc in this world. Lord God, we stand on your word. We stand on your promises. We take a stand to be joint seated in heavenly places with you. Because we know who we are. Your sons and your daughters, and that's all we have to be in life. We don't have to perform to earn your love. But as your sons and daughters, let us look like you, Jesus. Let us talk like you, Jesus. Let us do what you did. You brought love and truth, reconciliation, peace, love, joy. And yeah, Jesus, sometimes you shook things. Because sometimes the truth is the truth. But you know what? Your truth is the ultimate truth. It's the Word of God. We'll make no apologies for it. Show us how to speak your truth, your word, and let our motive always be love. And let us always walk in forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. I'll see you next week. Take action in the spirit and in the natural, and watch the world around you change. Amen.